Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with all of those of you who have tuned in for these Bible studies. And Pastor Hesse and I always look forward to this time shared together with you. And before we get into God's Word, let us turn to God in prayer. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy and the hope and the peace that you bring to our lives in the midst of a world that is very confusing right now, in the midst of chaos and turbulence and trouble. But Lord, you are present with us in the midst of trouble, and we thank you that you will never leave us. And so, Lord, it's with great joy and confidence, based upon the promises you give to us, that we gather around your word again today. Open our hearts and minds to your truth, Lord, that we may apply it each and every day of our lives. We ask it in your most wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is essential. The Holy Spirit is essential.
Amen.
This house, God's house, a place where people gather to hear the scriptures, to see the sacraments rightly administered, to gather and study and sing and praise, this is essential. I got to tell you, Pastor, I've been a little cranked up this week about we need to get the churches open.
I see fire dancing on your head. That must be a Pentecost thing.
No, it's so important to me. I know it is to you as well.
Yes, it is.
And
it's important to the nation.
Yes.
Yes.
My wife told me on the way out the door today, she was very saddened to hear that in Indianapolis, three people were killed last night. I assume it's part of the, sadly, these riots that are going on. And you know what I'm afraid of, Pastor? You and I are old enough to remember that term, long, hot summer.
Yeah.
That as we go into the summer, if the children don't have anything to do, if they're kind of stuck in the house and they can't go to the swimming pool, they can't go to different places to ride their bikes or go ride their barks, go to arcades and stuff like that, they can't be with their friends, that this is not going to be good. And then you have unemployment and many businesses that will never reopen. And I think many of us have lost sight of that this, you know, shutting down of business, oh, it will never be normal until 2021. That could be the death blow to America, in my opinion. I believe in America. I believe in what the founding fathers wrote. And we are a nation of people that have gone out, God has been with them, and started businesses and done all these things. And to say, oh, I know better than you. I'll take care of you. I almost feel I'm living in a time of Big Brother. And someone, you know, I remember when I was a pastor in Boulder, I sometimes got the opinion people would pat me on the head and say, oh, that faith of yours, that's really nice. My grandmother believed like that. No!
You know, though,
you want to read.
Well, I alluded to the fruit of the Spirit in the message this morning, and you can find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and following. But when I read these characteristics, these fruit that the Spirit bestows upon every believer, think about how powerful this is in our current time that we're going through in our culture and nation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Isn't that interesting? And that's why, as I know your passion, Pastor Hesse, and mine to get churches open again, this nation needs churches feeding our members that we can continue to grow and flourish in these fruit of the Spirit, which is going to bring healing in the neighborhoods we live in, you know, locally, but nationally as this expands out among the population. And so my prayer is that, and of course, we can still do that individually.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can stop us. from sharing
they
the gospel.
They can try.
They can try, but the gospel's not going away.
What was that movie? And I know I've asked you this, I got a bad memory. There was that movie about the two lions in Africa that seemed to be possessed.
Oh, I think it was Ghosts in the Darkness or Ghosts. Yeah, Ghosts in the Darkness.
You've got the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you can call it up on any of the movie channels you have, but it's about these two lions that seem to be possessed, that they could almost understand or even know ahead of time what people were going to do.
And it's a true story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've read the account of the true story. I've watched the movie. When you come to work tomorrow, or, you know, if I could see it again, I'd love to borrow it.
Yeah, okay.
But that idea of last night, we were watching television and we were watching some of the disturbance in Denver. And it brought a lot of thoughts up, Pastor, because are there people that are sincerely troubled, hurt, concerned? Yes.
Yep.
Are there a lot of people with nothing to do?
Yep.
Hey, let's go down and let's see what's happening. Let's be a part of it. I've thought about going down and just being there and praying and proclaiming God's word or singing God's hymns. My singing would drive them away if nothing else. But the idea that I just see Satan prowling around like a lion, and these people, I watch them as they spray painted there's a statue on the backside of the Capitol to a Civil War soldier. And they were, what does that have to do with the demonstration to spray paint on that? And there was just destruction. Oh, people are frustrated. Yeah, we are frustrated. We went from the best unemployment figures ever to what, 30, 40%? It's horrible. And everything was, well, for the most part, everything's going in a good direction. And now look what we've done. And who would like to see it even get worse?
Right.
Satan.
Well, yeah, and I want to read that passage because when you bring that movie up, because man, those lions, they're coming up to building structures and they're clawing at it because they know there's people inside. But in 2 Peter chapter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith.
People have asked me, how do you resist the devil? And I tell them this. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. In the name of Jesus, I want no more of this. Now, Luther used to talk about, you know, good old Martin Luther, you know. And have you ever had these bad thoughts that seem to just come into your mind? And he said these impure or wrong thoughts or bad thoughts, they're like the birds that fly overhead. You know, you can't stop them from flying overhead, but you can sure stop them from nesting in your hair.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't have any hair left, but that idea of using God's word in the name of God, you know, be gone. You know, no longer will I allow this with me. And I have found for me at tough times, I begin to say the Lord's Prayer again and again and again. You know, and I think some of the people have been watching know, that what I do now when I go to the store is I have my mask on and I continue singing to the joy of the Lord. And in these hard times, harsh times, these upside down times, I've had people come and start singing with me. I've had people give me a thumbs up. I've had people say thank you. I haven't had anybody that just said, would you knock that off? Now, maybe they were thinking it, but God's word, you mentioned it today, God's word comes by hearing, by reading, by hearing, by studying, by and through the means of grace, God's word comes.
Yes, faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And you know, again, you talk about the riots and just people out of control. Isn't that an incredible gift God gives to the church, to each one of us individually? The gift of self-control. The gift of we don't need to have authorities telling us not to stop doing something that's wrong, because within us we have that desire as a child of faith to want to do right. And God empowers us to have that self-control. I remember out on the farm growing up, we had very expensive farm equipment, vehicles. We left the keys in them. A neighbor would say, hey, I need to borrow a pickup. Do you have one I could borrow? Sure, keys are in it. Just come and get it. Well, why could that happen? Because it was a Christian community, and people had self-control. It's so powerful. And so when we hear about Satan roaming about, we're encouraged of all those gifts to keep that self-control.
Got a question.
Yeah.
What does looting not a Kmart, but a Target store. What is looting a Target store or an electronics store or a this store, what is looting and taking those things have to do with saying, you know, we have a problem in our community and, you know, we're demonstrating in remembrance of this man that died. What is stealing, breaking windows? What is burning cars? You know, whether it's, you know, your car or that person's car or a police car. What does that have to do? You see, I see this evilness that is slinking around in the shadows. And the only way that we can take charge of that is through God's word. There's only so much a person can do apart from God's word.
Which brings us back to Pentecost, doesn't it? The Spirit working through the word.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I gotta do the example.
Oh, good.
You know, you mentioned it in your sermon. And when, you know, did the people at the time of Jesus, before Jesus, did the sons of Abraham, did the different people, did they have the Spirit of God? And the answer is yes. You talked about circumcision brought them and the family into the family of God. Well, at the time when Jesus was saying, who do people say that I am? And it comes back to Peter, and you remember Peter says, well, you are the Christ. He could not say this in and of himself.
Jesus pointed that out, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And to have the Holy Spirit, when I used to teach confirmation, I would sometimes do it with a piano. I don't have a piano here, so I'm going to have to use my boombox. Am I old or what? Boombox. Anyway, here I am, and I've got my headphones on, and I'm listening. Oh, this is it. What I've got on here is Jesus Christ Superstar. That takes you back, doesn't it?
And you are old.
Yeah, I am. But here I am listening all by myself. And then there comes a time in our lives when God really stirs up that Holy Spirit. And I think of the disciples on that day, you know, when they were in the room and they had the Holy Spirit, but I don't know if they can hear that. I guess I got to get my microphone over here.
Yeah, got to turn it up.
And I'm turning up the radio station. There we go.
Now we can hear
it. Now, the Holy Spirit comes. And you hear the change from me just listening to a group in worship, to a group in study, to a group when God sent the Holy Spirit. Now I got to turn it off for a second. And you think of what is it going to sound like when all the angels of heaven, when Jesus is coming on that last day to gather those who believe in him. Now, you did say, Pastor, God desires all people come to a knowledge of his truth.
Amen.
Truth is that we are sinners, that no man apart from the work of God can believe, that no man can say from his heart that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I have the same Spirit that Peter and Paul had. Now in them, God gave it a great mixing. He really cranked up that volume, and Peter stood up and said, "This is what it's all about. God completed his plan to save us by sending his son who was crucified by the elders of the church who knew better, and they manipulated it all. But it was all God's plan that he would die for the sins of the whole world, rise again, the first fruits of those that are wonderfully raised up in Christ. And he ascended to heaven with the promise he's coming back." Just a second, Pastor. I got one more thing I want to say. I had a good friend. You know her too. Member of the church. Her name is I think I can say it. Her name's Letha. And for the last few years, she's been confined to a wheelchair because of a stroke. And she could say, "Heaven, heaven, heaven. Better, better, better." And she's so frustrated. You could see the light in her eyes, but she couldn't communicate back at. But I could talk to her, and she could hear the gospel. She could hear God's love for her. She made it home this week,
she
Pastor.
She did, yeah.
She made it home.
Heaven, 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 better, better, better. She's in the better now.
She is in the better. And I look forward to the day. Now, you noticed a minute ago, I was getting kind of wound up. That, to me, is when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and he stirs it up, not even close to what Peter and Paul had, but I overflow that I have to tell people. I feel if I don't tell, I'll blow up. That'd make a mess in here,
wouldn't
it?
That would. That'd be a mess.
Well, in the psalm, I want to read Psalm 25. It was one of the readings for today. And to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. I may not understand the times in which I live, but in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous and without excuse. And Pastor, you know I have a heart for all people. And I think of those people. I remember there was a man one time back when I had my first church, and I was talking every time I got the chance. He was gathered with his friends. And I'd come in, and eventually the talk had turned to Jesus, and I would talk about it. And one night he met me in a dark driveway, and he put his finger in my face, and he says, "You talk about Jesus one more time, and I'm going to beat you to a pulp."
Wow.
Well, he was a Golden Gloves fighter, which made it even worse. And I want to tell you, I'm not. But I had to tell him. I said, "Jesus died for you. And if Jesus loves you, then I do too." And I waited. I stood there, waited for the punch. And I didn't think it'd be one.
I thought that's why you had a cane today.
You could have beat him with it. No, he's still a friend of mine. And I think of God that night. And I was prepared to take whatever came. And we need to be in love. We need to share. I know you have a heart for the neighbors in your neighborhood, that they would come to know. But the scripture goes on to say, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long."
Wouldn't that be incredible if the whole nation right now would just pray that prayer?
If the nation would turn back to God.
Yeah.
And I do need to say, there are people praying to all kinds of gods. But there is only one true God. And how can we know we have the right one? You have to look back in the scriptures, and you have to see all the promises that were made for that Messiah. Over 150. And I think it's over 150.
300
promises.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, Jesus met every single one.
Amen.
Read Psalm 22 if you want to hear about the crucifixion. Hear about it hundreds of years before it was even dreamed up, that their God had already talked about it. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O God. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For those that realize living my life within the parameter of the Ten Commandments.
Self-control.
Self-control, trusting in God. I think one of the big problems we have in our nation is that we have trivialized God's name. When people use it as part of a curse, or when people just use it as part of an exclamation. No, I have to show respect for the Jews of the Old Testament when they would say Adonai. They did not want to even say God's name.
Right.
I had a kid in confirmation one time. He was a bit crazy. He was really smart, but had a rebellious streak in him. And he decided, after we had learned about not using God's name wrong, that in junior high or middle school, every time he heard somebody anywhere say God's name, he would drop down on one knee, make the sign of the cross, and wait to see what they would say. And it turned out to be a great witness. There he was, witnessing for the Lord. And kids were calling attention, looking at what he was doing. Oh, for your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. And it goes on to say, he will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. He makes his promises known to them. He makes his word known to them, that even though things may seem to be falling apart, God is still with us and for us. And he does desire that our nation turn back, that generations that may have not called upon him as Lord, that they would hear his word, that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and call them back, if this nation would join in a day of prayer. Pastor, would you conclude our time together? Imagine, if you will, this not only sanctuary filled, but beyond the parking lot, down the hill, and all this, and all the people could hear, not depending even on microphones, that God would allow them to hear, no matter their language background. It's as though God stirred you up for Pentecost, and he has said, Pastor, proclaim my word. Would you close us with a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, you know every detail of each of our individual lives and of the life of this nation, what we're currently going through. Lord, we pray for healing in this land, and certainly physically healed, but even more so spiritual healing. Lord, we see the brokenness of this land, the brokenness of people's lives, in how quickly people can revert to rioting, as we see that, as Pastor Hesse shared, just has nothing to do with what's happened in recent times. Lord, we pray that the church, that each one of us individually as your people, would enable those around us to truly see your presence among us and within us through those wonderful gifts, dear Holy Spirit, that you bestow upon us, and especially the gift of self-control. And Lord, we pray that you would humble our land, that many more who have rejected you in the past would realize that the things of this nation or of this world that they have been trusting in are failing them, and that they would come to know and realize that you alone are trustworthy for eternity. Lord, we thank you for the faith that you instill in our hearts. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you that through the waters of baptism, through hearing your word, you have changed our hearts, our lives forever. Lord, we pray that those who remain separated from you, those who use your name in vain, those who mock you and express that in hating their neighbor, that you would intervene in their lives as you have in our own, and they too would come to faith. Lord, we just thank you for the security of everlasting life, for the hope that you give us, the joy that is within our hearts, and even in the turmoil of life on this earth, the peace that we have with you, the Almighty God, all because you chose to love us in the most incredible way, Jesus, that you, the Son of God, would die on the cross as our substitute, but you would rise again, and you truly do reign. And so, Lord, may we approach this day and this week with confidence, knowing that you are the authority. In your name, we pray and give thanks and praise and trust. Amen.
Amen. God be with you. Mm-hmm.